Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Yes, this is Breakfast Business with me, Emmett Oliver, in this morning for Joe Lynham. It's great to have you along. We have lots coming up on the show. We'll be hearing how billions, literally billions and billions of euros are being wasted each year by people like us not taking our medicine and tablets, apparently, on the schedule we're given by our doctors. We'll also be talking about Revolut. As you know, last week they got a UK banking license. But what's happening in the whole area of AI and banking, and where does Revolut fit into the story? We'll be discovering a little bit more about that in a second or two as well. So stick around. Just to give you a rundown of this morning's newspapers in terms of financial headlines, the Irish Times says Irish Rail needs an executive chairman, says departing chairperson who's left recently. That's a Steve Murphy, left in February, and he's saying the whole area of rail needs to be transformed in Ireland. And as a result, Irish Rail needs an executive chairman to steer the company through the next few years. And he's told the minister, Dara O'Brien, who's in that area, that this is something of some urgency. Over in the Independent, they say oil markets facing into more turmoil this week as the US hits parts of the Iranian oil infrastructure. So it's going to be another bumpy week. Probably not that much of a surprise there. And there are fears of more job cuts at Meta, of course, owner of Facebook. That's in the Examiner, where they say the IT giant could be cutting another 20% or more of its overall global labour pool. We'll have to see what exactly happens. They've done, of course, endless rounds of that before. And the Dublin operation has been impacted before as Mark Zuckerberg restructures the company and moves increasingly into areas of AI and so on. So we'll keep a tab on that in case it's announced later in this week. Now, lots of things happening markets-wise. I'm joined by Kathleen Brooks from XTB. Kathleen, good morning to you.
Good morning, Emmett.
Listen, let's get through a fair bit of stuff this morning. Let's start with the Iran-related news. We know the Straits of Hormuz continues to be blocked up. Donald Trump telling the Financial Times other countries must help out because they need the oil more than the United States, is what he's claiming. These other countries haven't really been saying much in reply to that. It is an interview exclusively in the FT. But we're expecting oil prices to continue this remorseless rise, not by massive increments, but they are nudging up each day.
They are, and they nudged up at the open as well of the week, Emmett. So we did see Brent crude, which is the global benchmark, push up to $106.50. It's since retreated to just below $105. But I think the key thing to point out is that the oil price is comfortably above $100 now, and it has been for most of the past week. So as we go into the third week of the conflict, we are seeing these really elevated oil prices, and the market is very, very sensitive to any news, like you just mentioned, the bombings there in Iran, on Karg Island in Iran, where the big export terminal is. It is just very, very, it's got a lot of weak sentiment, this market. And I think any headline it's just reacting to, and it's reacting on the upside, very little to bring the oil price down at the moment.
Yes, and we have, of course, related central bank meetings happening this week. I think they're all meeting in some form. The Federal Reserve tends to be the one that gets the most focus, along with the ECB. So what are you expecting the Federal Reserve just to sit and hold for the moment?
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest expectation. Yeah, you're right. Two thirds of the world's major central banks will meet this week, which is just when we need to hear from them, actually. But the trouble is for the Federal Reserve and for all the central banks, actually, they cannot reopen the Strait of Hormuz. They cannot end the bombing campaign from the US. So they really have to kind of sit on their hands. I think they will have a very cautious tone. They've got to balance the risks to economic growth, which are real and which are happening already, with the inflationary risk. And I think certainly for the Federal Reserve, they obviously have a dual mandate. They've got to keep full employment, so strong economy, and they've got to keep price stability. But for the ECB and the Bank of England and lots of other central banks around the world, they've just got to keep the inflation mandate. And when we go back to 2022, when we had that inflation spike, central banks were accused of being behind the curve. I think they're going to take an even more cautious stance right now. I don't think they're going to want to spook markets by saying that interest rate hikes are coming, although two hikes are expected for the ECB, just under one hike now expected for the Bank of England this year. Complete 180 reversal for the Bank of England. We were expecting a rate cut this year, this week, and now we're expecting them to remain on hold. I think the Federal Reserve is in a very strange place anyway, because it's one of Jerome Powell's last meetings. What can he really say that matters? But I think it's going to be very hard to say anything other than we're in wait and see mode, and rate cuts are definitely not coming down the line.
Have you any idea where this Kevin Warsh appointment is? Like, it seemed to be held up in Congress the last time I looked. And, you know, lots of people saying, well, he's just Trump's sort of gopher and he's not going to be an independent central bank in the traditional mold. So do we know where he's at and what effect he might have when he arrives?
Yeah, I mean, Jerome Powell has to step down in May and he will likely remain on the board and then Kevin Warsh will sit in. You're right there. It was a really, really tricky Senate hearing for him with lots of tough questions. But you've got to remember, he was picked by Donald Trump. He was actually, he was ignored by Donald Trump in 2016 when Donald Trump actually picked Jerome Powell over him. So, whilst he is the pick, I think he was probably the best pick for Donald Trump to make because he's been on the Federal Reserve before. He's got a lot of history. And I think he'll be a bit more pragmatic because I think Donald Trump, especially at this point in time, when he's really caused a lot of havoc in financial markets, he will not want to be accused of threatening the Federal Reserve's independence. And I think Kevin Warsh is probably the best pick out of all of the choices that he had earlier this year. I think he is now the best pick and definitely the most pragmatic one. So he'll be joining in May.
I'm glad you avoided the sentence "best of a bad lot." I think that was you were implying there.
It was hard to do that.
The other thing I wanted to ask about is inflation. I'm looking at the forecast for inflation here in Europe. I mean, they're still pricing in 2.1% inflation. I mean, here in Ireland, we're at 2.7% already, and that's pre-Iranian oil shock. I mean, they're going to have to revise those figures, surely.
Yeah, they really are. And there are going to be staff forecasts this month from the ECB. So they will be revising their inflation figures. It's whether or not they've had enough time to put into their models everything that's just happened. Because if they haven't, then it's totally useless. We got to go back really to 2022 when we saw prolonged periods of high oil prices. The oil price actually stayed above $100 for 87 days back in 2022. That caused double-digit inflation across the world. We had it really bad over here as well. And you know, that has to be a reality. Now, the one thing that's different is that the economies are slightly weaker than they were in 2022 when it was great guns after COVID. So that could act as a little bit of a dampener already. And also, we just don't know the duration of this conflict. If the conflict ends at the end of this week, then maybe the effect will be less. But central banks are really having to do, it's a tough gig for them this week, Emmett.
Yeah, it definitely is, because a lot of it's to do with the Straits of Hormuz. And I just can't see these other countries putting naval assets at risk. I just can't see them falling in line with Trump. I mean, we've seen already the British didn't want to give them access to bases at the start. Maybe I'm wrong now, but I'd be very surprised if they want to fling themselves head on into this conflict at this stage. But we'll have to see. India in particular is an interesting aspect. Yeah. They get a lot of their oil like China does from this area. So is there something happening in that area where India could help out?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. India managed to get two tankers out of the Strait of Hormuz through diplomatic efforts directly with Tehran. If you saw the headlines over the weekend, France and Italy are also reaching directly to Tehran to try and use a diplomatic solution to get ships through the Strait of Hormuz. What we've heard overnight, obviously, is as what you just mentioned about Donald Trump threatening NATO allies by saying that they need to send their warships to defend the Strait of Hormuz. Well, people, you know, other countries, US allies, are saying, no, we're going to actually go our own way with this and we're going to go to a diplomatic solution. Now, it seems to be on a ship-by-ship basis, which isn't really an opening of the Strait of Hormuz. It's still very a very fragile situation. It could take a very long time to get all of those ships out of there and to get oil flowing again. But it is probably the one bit of hope that we've actually had. And it also is a little bit of a not an insult, it's definitely pushing back on what the US want. And I think for the oil market and for fragile financial market sentiment, that's a really good thing. And we're actually seeing equity futures, I'm just looking at them right now, Emmett, they're actually higher today in Europe and in the US. So there's some just eking out a little bit of positivity. Okay. And I think it's from that India story.
Listen, before I briefly let you go, we have CRH. They left the Irish Stock Exchange a while ago, but now in the last few days, they finally cut the cord with the London Stock Exchange as they make lots more money and have a much more liquid capital market to tap into in the United States.
They do. Another one bites the dust for the LSE. Yeah, they've been listed, CRH have been listed on the New York Stock Exchange since September 2023. Look, we can beat around the bush here, but CEO pay is a real hidden factor in this US relisting trend. The CRH chief, Jim Minton, he got a $17.8 million pay packet last year. So there's a lot of, you know, executive pressure to move hook, line and sinker to the US, but it hasn't been easy for them. And I don't think it will be going forward. Year to date, CRH's share price is actually down 20%. And building materials obviously are going to struggle, you know, with infrastructure projects on hold in the current environment.
Okay, listen, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. That's Kathleen Brooks, who is from XTB, our market watcher. And up next, how will AI impact your bank?
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk
with Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland. Helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.